All right, we will now call to order the City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings for June 9, 2015. At the outset, I reviewed the minutes of May 12 and have approved them. Before we proceed any further, will those representatives of the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying this morning's proceeding please step forward and be sworn?
Do solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided, the truth of the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Do we have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's agenda?
No, sir, Mr. Hilton.
All right, then that takes us to our first matter, which is lien review number one. William Krug and Robert Krug, 628 Aberdeen Street. All right, and we have
Robert Kramer on behalf of the Krugs.
Good to see you, Counselor.
Thank you.
So we have someone here on behalf of the respondent. So, Mr. Kramer, why don't you go ahead and explain to us why you think your client is entitled to some relief.
We have a vacant lot here. It's vacant now because the city tore down the house. We have offered the lot to the city, and that hasn't been resolved yet whether the city wants it or not. So we're not here to discuss that part of it today. They would like to get the lien released so they can sell other property, and they do have someone interested in this property if the city doesn't want it. The city is out of pocket for demolition and lot clearance liens and interest $6,048.37, and we would offer to pay that amount to get the lien released and so we could start fresh, and then if the city wants to discuss taking the lot for free, we are willing to continue with those negotiations. But that's not ripe yet because the city doesn't know if they want it. So that's what I'm here to offer, is we would pay the $6,048.37 to get the lien released.
All right, let's hear from the city.
Good morning, Ms. McKelge. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This is lien review, and it's just, I guess, a couple of things that I need to add to that. One is, right now, as far as the code enforcement lien, that offer says that nothing's being offered at all for the code enforcement lien. There's a code enforcement lien that accrued to thousands of dollars. I don't remember what that number was, but it was quite.
15022.
Well, it's 15022 now as a result of our program that maxed the lien. And with that lien, that's the code enforcement portion of this. That's the result of the property being in noncompliance and ultimately the city bringing the property into compliance. The additional cost, the actual service cost from the city, is the city bringing it into compliance by doing a demolition. And then the subsequent repeated necessity of the city to go to the property and mow and care for the property subsequent to its demolition because the owner didn't care for the property. So those costs are generally recoverable even as part of outside actions, foreclosures or even for tax deed. So agreeing to pay that cost by itself does nothing concerning the code lien. The approach that we have received as relates to this code lien is that it's cross-encumbering numerous properties that are owned by the respondent. And in fairness to the respondent, I believe that his circumstances is related somewhat to being a lender or holding mortgages and then having to foreclose. But in any sense, he has numerous properties. This is cross-encumbering. And where we sit now is that we still have the code lien. What the city is asking is that he pays these actual costs, which is the $6,048, and then in addition to that, a reduction on a lien from the $15,000 to $5,000. So in paying that in full, that would release all of his properties, and he'd no longer be encumbered.
So you want five on the 15?
That's correct.
What say Mr. Kramer to that?
Well, like I said, we've offered the six. They're asking for 11. whatever you think is fair, I will take to them. I only have authority to go to the 6.
I understand that. Quite frankly, it's a pretty gracious offer on the city's part, to be honest with you, although I'm sure your client would disagree. But in any event, it also carries with it the prospect of being rid of, I guess, this lien, which is holding up other properties as well.
Correct.
All right, I'm going to accept the city's position, and I'll agree to reduce the lien, the code enforcement board lien, to the sum of $5,000, subject to it being paid within 30 days, and the $6,043, I think the number was $6,043.37.
$48.37.
And the $6,048.37 paid within that 30 days as well.
And that would be for a full release.
That would be a full release on this, as to this notice, as to this violation.
Right.
What other violations your client may have.
Satisfaction of the demolition loan and the outstanding loan.
Right, yes, yeah, so release those additional liens.
As far as we know, that's everything. There's nothing outstanding.
That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't know if there were other notices of violation
right.
of the property. So.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and that's good for 30 days. Failing that, it just reverts, or failing that, nothing
happens. Nothing happens. We just go back to where we were, right.
All right, good
okay.
luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next case, Robert and Chantal Peskin.
Mike Bowen, GC Contractor Service.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Just make sure you speak into the microphone.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, last time we were here, Mr. Bekelja continued the case to the June 9, 2015 meeting for a progress report and determination of compliance with the order ordered permit should be continued and the property is not to be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized until compliance. And Mr. Bowen, you were here last time as well, so you have authority to speak on behalf of the respondents. And if that hadn't been said, where are we, or what progress has been made?
We have filed for permit. I have a permit number. It's in for review. And we'll wait on respond back, and we're ready to move forward.
Okay. Do we have any reasonable expectation as to when this permit's going to be approved? Or is that just guesswork?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I would say we put in the product approvals. We have some things. She was working with me yesterday. That's why I was looking at her, but I don't know. However long it takes for me to get it. And
assuming for the sake of argument this permit was approved right now, when would you be suggesting the property would be in compliance?
In compliance within 60 days. They're going to do more work than just the compliance work to the house now. But as far as the exterior and the safety of it, we'll have it done in 60 days.
And I assume the property is not being rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized.
It's still boarded up.
Very good. All right, what's say the city?
Ms. McKelter, this property's
before you described with the inspector,
Andy Garcia. Mr. Garcia informs that the city's in agreement that at this stage she sees the case that he can regarding filing the city. Based on the time period it sounds like a 90-day time period for completion. If we look at the 60 days, we would expect that it'd have a permit within the next next cutoff within the next 30 days. The city thought is that
and in the interim, that we support the next meeting, at least have a progress report to ensure that we do have the permits and we are going forward.
All right, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance, by September 2, 2015, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I'm also going to order that I have a progress report at our July 8 meeting. I'm not going to require the respondent to be here. I just want to know whether those permits have been issued or not. If the permits have been issued within 30 days, as the city seems to indicate they should, then everything's fine and everything's in place. If it turns out those permits are not in place at that point in time, then we'll obviously have to have more discussion on this matter.
What was that September date?
September cutoff.
September 2, 2015.
Gotcha.
Mr. McDonald, just for clarification, the meeting date is actually July 14th.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Okay. The meeting will be July 14th, not July.
And you're saying I don't have
to report on the 14th.
I need to report in by then, or I need to be here on July 14th.
If you already have the permit, you don't need to be here.
You tell me, and
okay. And the city will report to me that the permit's been issued, and that's that.
Okay.
If the permit hasn't been issued, then we're all back here trying to figure out what's going on.
Gotcha.
Very good?
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck to you.
Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Case number 2, Gracie Land, REI Consulting, LLC.
Hey, how are you?
Can you state your name, please?
Elliot Meadows.
Do you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Progress report and determination of a compliance date continued from May 12, 2015. And part of the problem was that the city and the respondent were at an impasse as to whether the property had been abandoned or not. Have we resolved that impasse?
Yes, that impasse is resolved, Mr. McKelvey. The city position is that abandonment, not sure where the information that the representative for respondent had when he came forward, but the follow-up information of the city is that this property had long been abandoned, just become abandoned, that it had gone through a period of a very lengthy period of no water services, no rental occupancy.
What you call business tax. And no specific date, so it's in file here. Give me a moment. I'll flip.
Last water services for
12 to 2010.
And since 2010, there hasn't been any rental taxes or rental occupancy. Mm-hmm. Our understanding, even at the time when they came to seek the permits for all three property, was acknowledged then that property, the position of the respondent was that the property was being rented because people were living in it. However, it was boarded up. They were not coming in front because it gave the appearance of being abandoned, but it was being rented for their position. However, all aspects of
reality is
that it had been abandoned, and it had been abandoned for the last 5 years at least.
Okay.
It had changed hands several times in the interval.
All right, Mr. Meadows, are we in agreement that the property had been abandoned?
No, sir. I'd like to know the definition of abandonment per the city. What are they saying is abandonment? Because obviously we know that foreclosure is not abandonment, so what is abandonment?
Okay, what constitutes abandonment, and what impact does the foreclosure have on the time frame?
The foreclosure would have no impact because the foreclosure occurred well after they lost that status. The foreclosure that he's discussing, or one that he's raising, is a foreclosure that occurred in, I believe he said, July or June of last year.
The property had, as far as the grandfather status,
had been lost long before then. It had even gone to the point where it was condemned and boarded up, and that status had been long lost. So while that's well understood, his position regarding involuntary when there's a foreclosure, that was
not the circumstance here.
Isn't abandonment simply a lack of occupancy for like a 6-month period or something like that?
That's correct.
It's a redevelopment area. It's a 3-month period.
And a non-redevelopment area. It's a 6-month period.
It's a redevelopment area?
No, it is not.
So we're dealing with 6 months.
Definitely.
So it's the city's contention, going back to 2010, there was easily 6 months of lack of occupancy, or whatever occupancy there was illegal.
That's correct.
Because you have no business tax receipts going back to 2010.
No water service.
You have no water service going back to 2010.
That's correct.
And when was the last time you showed electrical service at this?
Well, our ordinance provides that it's a rebuttable presumption of non-occupancy.
There's no water services.
An abandonment.
All right, that shifts the burden to you to prove that notwithstanding the lack of the water service, that that was legally occupied continuously from, it sounds as though, 2010 to the present. Are you able to do that?
I still don't know if I agree with the contention that not having water service or tenants is abandonment. I mean,
well, I
you do?
Yes, sir.
You're the boss. But it seems like...
I mean, if you ain't got water, you ain't got tenants, what are you?
Well, think about it for a minute. The previous gentleman, you've given him 90 days to come into compliance. So if he's in a redevelopment district with no tenants, no water for 90 days, how come his isn't abandoned?
Because...
So it doesn't seem like the definition...
Let's focus on your case. Your case has the structure, the lack of use, the unoccupancy going back to 2010... You know, the question is, how do you overcome the lack of water service?
If the taxes are paid, if the taxes are paid by somebody, the mortgage and the property is not abandoned. Somebody's paying for that property.
Abandonment for the purposes of the zoning laws in the city are apples and oranges compared to whether you're current on your real estate taxes. We're talking right now about what kind of uses is the city going to allow you to use that property for. And in the past, you were allowed up to 8 units. The laws changed, okay? And then there was an abandonment. That grandfathering status, it appears to me, it's pretty clear that it ended. I mean, we can argue apples and oranges all day long, but as far as the zoning regulations are concerned, the lack of water service, the absence of any tenants, legal tenants, the failure to have a business tax receipt on a rental property constitutes abandonment.
It constitutes vacancy, I agree.
It constitutes abandonment as far as the zoning regulations are concerned, and that's the topic of the day right now.
How many units
are you going to be permitted, or is the grandfathering expired?
I don't want to upset you, but I just don't think that it's written that way in the code. If he could show you in the code where it's written like that, I think you'd be on my side.
I don't think so.
I mean, I understand what we're saying. You know, the property, of course, we've gone through a recession. You know, and of course it's changed hands a couple of times from this bank to that bank to this person to that bank. But the whole time people have been trying to sell the property and move forward or purchase the property and move forward. So I just don't understand. If you look at the Webster's term of abandonment, it's not even close to what we're talking about here. And in the city's code, in the actual code itself, it doesn't specify that it's... It's just, I just disagree, but, you know, I'm not, you know, there's, it doesn't say that, it says if the property's been abandoned, right? It doesn't say if the property's vacant. If it said if the property's vacant for 6 months, then all the snowbirds that leave for 6 or 7 months and come back, they would lose their grandfather. They don't. They'd shut off their water service for 6 or 7 months and go to Canada and come back. They don't lose it. So... To say that if it's vacant for 6 months, it's abandoned. Abandon is when somebody says, you know what, forget this property, washes their hands of it, they leave, they never show up to a meeting, they never try to file for foreclosure, they never try to sell the property, they never pay their taxes. That would be abandonment. And then if it were abandoned, the county or the city would take that property back because the taxes weren't paid. No, it was abandoned. You know, there's a lot of places in Detroit that are abandoned where owners have said, we're out of here. Forget it. Leave it. Don't touch it. Never pay anything. I just don't understand how people can pay the taxes, somebody can buy it, a bank can sell it, it can be on the open market getting marketed, and yet we're considering it abandoned. I think if you leave your car on the side of the road and never come back to it after 10 years, yeah, it's been abandoned. If you leave your car on the side of the road to go get gas, it's not abandoned. I mean, I don't know how many different ways I can say it, but even in the land development code, it doesn't specify that abandonment is vacancy. So, I mean, I just think we have a difference of opinions, but there's a lot of properties in Daytona that are going through foreclosure, getting sold, getting marketed. I mean, this property was marketed for over a year and a half with a real estate broker. How is that abandoned? Someone's trying to sell it.
Because the use, it had expired due to a change in city legislation, expired under the terms of the zoning regulations. That's the context we're dealing with here.
If the code said if it were vacant, I would agree with you 100%. It's just because it says abandoned, I just have trouble understanding that and feeling like, you know, is it really abandoned when they're trying to sell it and market it? Did the bank really abandon the property?
All right. Notwithstanding respondents' cogent arguments, I'm finding that the respondent failed to overcome the presentation by the city that the former use had been abandoned. So with that, how does that impact this going forward? From 8 units down to 4?
And that's where I'm looking out to my zoning officer. I can have just about to come forward and assess this on that. And so I will tender to your questions. Ms. Rose asked you and our inspector, it's either one of four, and our inspector.
Good morning. My name is Rose. I'm the planner here. The city. Jackson asked me to do research on the property. Look at you.
He's already passed that. His real question now is the question of what can he do?
Okay. When you say
right now, with the previous grandfathering, which I understood translated into 8 units on this property, has now been deemed abandoned by myself. So, if we're not dealing with the grandfathering, and we're now dealing with the current codes, current regulations, what is the man permitted on the property?
At this point, I have research on what was permitted. I would research on whether or not the use had ceased to exist and whether or not he could reestablish. And we determined the use did cease to exist. For him to determine what can be used, what he can do, we'll need a survey that shows the layout of the current property to determine the size, meaning how many units he allowed and the size of the property. Because based on land use and zoning, it determines how many units per acre you can have, and we need to see a current survey of the property to be able to determine how many units he would actually permit it based on our land development code and our comprehensive plan.
And that's an application process.
Yes, it is. And when we talked to there was a lady and a gentleman that came into the permission licensing office. The lady said she was the mother of the son who owns the property. We explained to them when they came in. Now we haven't received a survey or anything. They told us the owner was ill and that she had the rights to be able to do it for him. But as of now, no one has come in with any documentation for us to review it to be able to tell them what would be allowed. This is the first I've known of anything other than Mr. Jackson asked me to look at our code and determine whether or not the use has been banned.
Let's back up. Are you Graceland REI Consulting LLC?
I'm their general contractor.
You're their general contractor?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They've retained me to do the work.
All right. Well, let's back up and go by the numbers. All right. Special magistrate has just determined that the former use has been abandoned. So I guess now the question becomes, what's Graceland REI Consulting LLC's intentions for the property? If it is their intent to go forward and do something with it, then I can understand if you'll need additional time to figure that out. So my point is, we're at a juncture right now where should you choose to appeal my determination, that's also the respondent's right, if that's your inclination. So my point is, your options right now, it sounds as though the city's not even clear on what you'd be, or city's not prepared on the fly to tell you right now what you can or cannot do. So my inclination would be to just point out to the respondent and the respondent's contractor that there are another number of options here. You can appeal my determination for starters, You can regroup and try to figure out what you're going to do with the property, or you can decide to throw up your hands and say, I'm not doing anything.
And abandon it? What's the appeal process?
I imagine you would, what, petition the circuit court?
Yeah.
To make a determination as to whether my determination of abandonment was well-founded or not.
So I think what we could do, if it pleases you, is if we can regroup, and by the July 12th or 14th meeting, if I can talk to the owner of Graceland and let him make the determination. I'm really not able to make that determination on his behalf, but if you could give us 30 days or so to make that determination, whether we will appeal or whether we will get a survey and do whatever the city allows us.
That's reasonable enough.
Okay.
And we will continue this matter to the July 14 docket. Now, in the interim, the property is not to be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized for any sort of residential for any purposes whatsoever. And, of course, the exterior needs to be maintained in the interim, too.
Yeah. She's mowing it.
All right. So that having been said, we'll reconvene on July 14, 2015. And at that point in time, I'll expect the city to be able to tell me what permitted uses there are, and the scope of those uses, and then and hopefully that will be conveyed to Mr. Meadows before then, so you can help him decide what he's going to do or what the property owner's going to do.
Because there's just two issues and that the staff is concerned with. One is that when they came in, they said that property was being rented in the back, so that it's no lawful renting of the property.
It's unrentable. It's unrentable.
Okay. And the second issue, the inspector, there is still, it is not secure right now. Door open or something.
The building has to be secure to city standards. That sounds, that may be something as simple as fixing a window or putting a lock on the door.
Okay.
In other words, we can't have vagrants occupying the building.
Okay. Yes, sir. We'll make sure it's in compliance.
Very good. Then we'll reconvene on July 14th and see where we're going.
Thank you, sir.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 3, Frank P. Heckman.
Can you state your name, please, for the record?
I cannot hear you.
State your name.
Frank P. Heckman.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony
you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city first. What does Mr. Heckman fail to do that warrants a fine?
Mr. Vakelter, the inspector in this case is Mike Fitzgerald. He's indicated that the property remains in noncompliance, and I would have to, for Mr. Fitzgerald, to tell you what remains in noncompliance.
But the city is requesting a fine of $250 per day.
Also, for his magistrate's information, there is a citizen, I believe a neighbor, who desires to speak and wants to come forward. So I don't know if you're... want to take the payment.
All right, first things first, where do we stand on compliance, Mr. Inspector?
I'm with the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. My credentials are on file with the city. We're going to take a look at before and after pictures of the property. These are the before pictures of the unit 407. The screen door was broken. The door on the inside has cracks and... next photograph with some extra wood on the bottom to holding it together. Second circle. That was after. That door hasn't been repaired. This door here also has plywood holding it together. And that third window to the end has now been boarded over. The screen door has been removed. And that would be the plywood that's holding it together. Mr. Heckman, he would need to get a door put in, get a contractor out there to make sure it's up to code, mm-hmm. pull permits, and do the doors and fix the windows. And Mr. Heckman, I boarded it up. Now we're to the back of the property, back what the paint was, the jalousy windows not open or closing, some screens, painting on the building still need to be done. This was a shed that started the process and the fence. That shed has been removed. The area has been cleaned up. And that's that was what it looks like now. That would be compliance on that one issue. The front of the building has been painted. The rotten wood underneath the front porch was replaced, but not with a permit or contractor, I guess. They did paint the building on the front, exterior on the, which will be the east side and the south side of the building. Again, the jalousie windows aren't working. And up at the top, the screens to the end of the roof and rotten wood. And, of course, the paint's peeling. That would be what it looks like at this time.
How recent are these photographs?
The photographs were yesterday.
The after
photos. I walked around the house with Mr. Heckman. I even put...
For everything I've seen have been the after photos with the
exception... It was four picture and after photo.
With the exception of that shed that was removed, and then you showed the after picture.
Yes, sir.
That was the after picture.
The picture you just saw. Yeah, he did
that, but
has rotten wood. Both.
Okay, what say Mr. Heckman?
Well, I'm aware of what is going on there, and the work is being done even as we speak right now to comply with the failures that have been reported to me about the building I own.
Who's doing the work?
I'm doing much of it. However, I've been advised that I need to have work done by a licensed and a certified contractor, which I have been in touch with.
All right. Have you hired one yet?
I will be doing that today.
Okay.
And the work will be done... Oh, excuse me, sir.
That's right. Mr. Inspector, given the current status of the property, how much time should it take to come into compliance?
He still has to pull a permit. I'm sorry. He still would need to put a plan together, pull the permits for the repairs. And it's been going on since December. Okay. 60 days. With a maybe 30 days, we'll get an update to see if the plans have actually stuff and that kind of thing.
Mr. Heckman, the city says with the if you get the contractor on board, it should take you 60 days or less to come into compliance. What say you to that?
Sir, I'm sorry, but I could not understand you. Could you speak just a little louder for me?
Sure. The city says you ought to be able to come into compliance by 60 days if you...
Within 60 days of my hearing?
Oh,
absolutely. It can be done much sooner than 60 days. Yes.
Okay. All right. Somebody wanted to be heard on this matter?
Yeah. Just from my conversation with staff, the position of staff is that Mr. Heckman's time is run. And part of the concern is that while he's making promises and he does stuff, he seems to really, and we'll have to see if he follows through. So if you elect to give him time, we would request progress report next month, because he has said he would hire,
yes,
but he won't hire.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be circumstances.
Well, I'm going
to
make life simpler. I'm going to give him time, and then a fine is going to start running if it's not done. So does that short circuit some of this?
Well, I'm seeing nods. I think that would short circuit it.
Okay, let's hear from whoever wants to be heard.
Okay, we also have a certificate of citizen. She can come forward at least one.
Do I step aside?
Yes.
Oh,
sure.
State your name, please.
My name's Darcy Hale.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Darcy Hale, neighbor of Mr. Frank Heckman. I'm here to speak on the behalf of myself and other neighbors regarding the condition of Mr. Heckman's rental properties and what I've observed. I believe Mr. Fitzgerald was about to tell us that he pointed out different violations with tape, blue tape, while I observed Mr. Heckman and his handyman removing that tape and painting over the signs of the violations that he needed to correct. So he's covered over things with boards, taken tape off that pointed out the violations. I'm right next to him. I'm the one that tore his shed down for him to help him become in compliance. Our neighbors have tried for years to work with this man to help him make his property more livable, more presentable. It's been going on far longer than December. I've lived here 4 years. I'm a taxpayer. So I'm really concerned about the time frame given. He's been given many, 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 many months over the years to correct these violations. It keeps getting worse. I have a petition from the neighbors here. I can give you all the names of the people that would like to try to resolve this manner in a peaceful way, in a more timely way. And I believe he's just trying to get it put off as far as long as he can, because that's the way he operates. He's just putting it off. And I personally saw him doing the repairs on his porch up on a ladder, just painting over certain things, little tiny things here and there. The most important thing that I'm here about, and I don't know if this meeting can address this issue, but the condition of his property has drawn in a criminal element that is very difficult to live with. His tenants on a regular basis are disorderly. They shout out things. They threaten the neighbors. They have been arrested at the dwelling many times. Most of his tenants have records there. I have all their records. I have all the police reports for disturbing the peace, the noise violations. And as a landlord, he is required to follow the rules, and so are his tenants, to follow the laws of the city and the state. And they do not on a regular basis. I was asked to come here by my neighbors because we are at wit's end with his tenants and with him not taking care of his property. The tenants are very reluctant to come in here and complain. Number one, because of retribution that could occur toward them. Number two, some of them enjoy the lower rental rate, so they don't want to complain too much because they're afraid that their rent will go up. I'm very close to all the tenants. I know them. But they're still criminals. And they still, domestic violence, trespassing, breaking and entering, drug use. I have pictures. I have documentation. I have security cameras that show all of this. And as a concerned citizen for my city, I love my city, I love my neighborhood, something has to be done. And the root of it is the condition in which he keeps his property. I've gone to neighborhood watch meetings. I have done everything possible, petitions. And these people that live with him are endangering the neighbors, endangering the property. And I've seen this go on and on. We've gone round and round with different inspectors. I know they have a lot of work to do for that area. It's a historical district. But I would classify Mr. Heckman as a slumlord, and it needs to be addressed seriously.
Is this property currently occupied? Is this property currently occupied?
Yes, it is. Okay, that's fine.
Yes, fully occupied. Yes, sir.
He has a tenant on the end on 410 that's going to jail on Thursday. He will be in jail for 3 months, and he hasn't paid rent in 16 months. That's from his own words. And he will be leaving his car and all his belongings in that unit. and he's hoping that Mr. Heckman doesn't notice. So it will be abandoned for at least 3 months.
I'm unaware of this, what you're telling me today.
Well, in that case, yes, you were unaware. I'm telling you now.
And I have not have any tenants that haven't paid me in the amount of months that you're saying, no.
No, that's not true. Sorry, we disagree on that.
All right, so getting back to the city's projection, 60 days to come into compliance?
I think the point was just city answering your question, if he was to sit there and diligently work on it, yeah, it couldn't take 60 days to come into compliance. But the city's position is strongly that time has run out. There's no good faith effort to get this done. The right people that need to be involved to get it done are not being hired, and it's not getting done. And so the city's position, and I know the preference and the desire is to see it done, so maybe initiating now will motivate some immediate action. And so that's the concern of the city, that a fine being imposed, initiated now, immediate action take place, and then if he wants to come in and talk to you about how hard he worked after he was fined, then we'll talk. But at this point, many people have worked hard to try and get this not happening.
How many rental units are on this property?
There are 4 units. One is lived in. Michael Fitzgerald. There are 4 units. One is lived in by Mr. Heckman, and 3 are rented.
He rents also to a man with special needs in the back of his. It's more like a closet. His name is David, and he rents that. And I don't think anyone's aware of that. And he shares a porch with him.
I guess he rents him a room or something in his own apartment.
A room in his own apartment, right. But
I don't have any roommates.
So. Oh, okay, then.
Then he's in a separate unit that is the size of a closet. So he actually has 4 rentals.
What do we have, a bunch of detached buildings on this property? How do we get 4 units in a residential area?
I would appear to be a
single family
house. Okay. If I may step up?
Absolutely.
His grandfather in is a 4-unit apartment building. This is the front, and then there's 3 units back here. And that's per Volusia County property appraisers.
Where are 3 units?
The 3 units are located in this area of the building. They don't eliminate them, but there's 1 unit. So I've never been inside, so there's something, 1 unit here, 1 unit here, and 1 unit there.
And there's 1 in the back.
Yeah, I don't. I walked around this house. I still can't understand. I looked for it yesterday, but I couldn't see it.
I'll show you next time you're around. There's a door. Mm-hmm. It's right there, behind that trash can. Yes, right there on the right. That's a door.
That's my building, yes.
That's where David lives.
That's the back door to the apartment. Or what is that?
No, this is the front of my unit.
On the right side.
And then over to the right, you can walk back a path, and then there's a door that goes into an efficiency apartment, which is a kitchen, a bedroom, living room, and a bath.
That's where the 4th tenant lives, David. And he lives there as well. He lives in the front.
I live in the front, yes.
Right.
Right there. Look up on the screen.
Yes, yes, sir. That's what I'm referring to. That
so door. You're saying that's a door?
Yes, to an efficiency where David lives. Mm-hmm. I see him enter, go in, come out. I talk to him. He's trying to hide it with the trash can now, but for a while he had a number up there, and then he realized he wasn't supposed to do that, and he painted over the number.
May I just say this? All
the units I have are registered with the city and legal.
Does David live there?
Excuse me?
Does David live there, yes or no?
Yes. David is a tenant in the...
Where does he live?
David lives in the efficiency alongside, behind the trash can in through that door. There is an apartment there.
Is that a legal apartment?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Everything I
have is legal with the city.
It's a quad duplex, and you can only have four legal units.
Yeah.
Which means yours, one living, and two others. And also, the 410 and 411 share a water heater, and the one in 410 has hot water in his toilet. So the ones in 411 are paying for the electric, for the water heater for both.
This is all new to me. I've never heard about this one.
They would have to let us in.
Right. I understand that. But they tell me this. But they're afraid of retribution, as I stated earlier.
Afraid of me?
They're afraid you're going to evict them, and they like the low rent, and they like the rules that you allow them to break.
All right. Let's get back to the topic at hand here. Mr. Inspector, 60 days to come into compliance. How much of this work that's on this notice of violation has actually been done?
Part of the painting, did and removing of the shed. That's what he's done.
Yeah, so he painted two walls or two faces.
Yep.
I think
yes.
He said east and south or something like
it
that.
It was the south facing and the east facing. Yeah, have been painted.
He painted two walls and he's removed the shed.
Yes, sir.
That's it. As far as this list of
yes, sir.
Items to be corrected is concerned?
Yes.
So nothing else on this list has been done?
No.
Mr. McCullough, let me just add, in this case,
the head of code enforcement.
In this case, we've been going on.
Remember, the case that Michael working. Myself, Mr. Fitzgerald, have gone numerous times, spoken with Mr. Heckman, advised him, showed him what has called for this, and we've gotten which people in the area wish to remain anonymous.
On the case right before this one started a month before this one, and we just told this man to come back next month and we'll talk about what we're going to do.
And
I understand the time, I understand the aggravation, I understand you being put out. Somewhere along the line here, I've got to balance all your demands, and likely or not, Mr. Heckman's rights. So here's what I'm doing. Mr. Heckman, you're going to be in compliance by August 5 of 2015.
By August 5?
August 5. If you're not in compliance by August 5 of 2015, a $250 a day fine will automatically go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000?
$20,000.
$20,000. Okay? So there won't be any need for any more meetings down here. It's real simple. You get your contractor on board immediately. You get these things taken care of. These people are going to be looking for all the shortcuts this young lady has accused you of taking as far as the work that's been done so far. So they're going to be looking for that. And so that having been said, let me emphasize. When August 5 rolls around and there's not a notice of compliance in this file, and that property is accruing a fine of $250 a day, I don't want to say this is your last chance, but what I'm saying is I hope you use that time, because if you find yourself incurring a fine of $250 a day, given the history that we've had so far, given the additional time you're getting now, then it would be unlikely that you will be receiving any leniency should you be asking for a reduction in a lien. So please be advised, follow through on this, make a right with the city, and make a right with your neighbors.
When I leave here today, can I ask that the problems that have been brought up here today,
the problems that have been discussed,
can I have them?
Right. Notice a violation, but I'll give them to you.
Would you please?
You and the city figure out what needs to be done and make it real simple. When in doubt, do more than you ask for. Is that what
I will do that. I have no reason not to.
Very good. Good luck.
Thank you.
Case number 4, Precious Property Management LLC.
Morning. Elmo Angelo Bartolome. And Mr. Yes, Mr. Ben Butera.
Can you just state your name for the record, please?
Ben Butera, 51 West Granada Boulevard, Ormond Beach.
Okay, can you both raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, your name again?
Elmo Angelo, you could call him Angelo Bartolome.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's ask the city what has the respondent failed to do.
Mr. Kell, the respondent is still in noncompliance, however, they have just got...
Rubble, formerly known as the Red Lobster Restaurant?
Yes.
And you've been driven by and seen since yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. And you may recall the city's position has
been very adamant about
this being taken care of. The interior down, as we saw, we have this pile of rubble and other lower structural beam stuff that need to be removed. Their permit had expired. They had to get another permit. They just got the permit. The city is willing to give them to the next cutoff compliance.
Okay. How's that sound to you?
Sounds good to me. As we're talking here, they're actually removing all those debris.
Great.
So, therefore, it should be all clear.
All right, then I'll amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until July 8, 2015 to come compliant, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6 is in compliance. Case number 7, Reese House LC, or Rosy House LC.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Cyril Javorek for Rosy House.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And your last name?
Javorek. Come on. Come on.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. So let's say the city.
Because the inspector for this case is John Stint from the city. He's of us that
the property be named to non-compliance.
That this was
complaint.
No permits for work. They have done some work, but no permits for any work. And he informs that it's in non-compliance, and he's requesting $50 per day, $15,000. That's them to you for
okay. Is any effort been made for any of these things in compliance?
There has been, I'm sorry, John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed by the city. My qualifications are on file. There has been some effort made. The building has been painted. However, there's still a roof issue that still needs to be corrected with an open roof permit. They've got a new front door that's been installed without permits. The fencing on the property is still suspect. The ownership of the fence on either side of the property still needs to be determined. And as of this morning, there's still parking issues on the property.
Let's say Mr. Javorek
I can report you, since the last meeting, I had everything done as written in the letter. The cars parked outside had tags. The house is painted. The old paint was taken off. These are old pictures, and that was already 30 days or more ago. The door has been replaced. And the roof, what Mrs. Stenzel referred to, is overhanging from the front where you can see, which brought to my attention 2 weeks ago when I was actually on my way to Greece.
So it's your
and in regards to the permits, you are absolutely right. It was brought to my attention while I was in Greece, and people tell me I can pull a owner's permit or something like that.
You cannot do that. Cars. It's a rental property.
And in regards to the cars and the renter and the dogs, what I understand is my office filed for eviction, and they will be removed today, actually.
Okay. Sounds like Mr. Jaborik saying he's done just about everything. Sounds like you're saying he's got a lot to do yet.
That's correct.
All right. When was the last time you inspected the property?
6:45 this morning.
And as of 6:45 this morning, what did you still see that was incomplete or undone or hadn't been attended to?
This is the picture from 6:45 this morning, or 6:47. Obviously, you can still see the parking issues.
So I got three cars at this location. Two of them parked on grass?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, Mr. Jaborik, what do you got to say about that?
They will be removed by the sheriff at 2:15 today, so that whole issue will actually solve, including the dog issue.
Okay. Outside storage, have we fixed the outside storage?
As you can see in the front of the white car on the far left, there's still outside storage piled up on the side of the house.
What do you refer to exactly with storage?
Can you blow that up for me, please?
The debris
Mr. Engineer.
On the left side?
Yeah.
That will be gone then by tomorrow.
So your excuse, if I understand you, is that you've got a tenant there, and then once the tenant's gone,
I have
some of your problems will
tenants.
Be gone, and you'll cure the others.
I will cure, actually, whatever needs to be done.
Okay, so we got outside parking we talked about. We've got debris on that side of the house. Dilapidated fencing. Where do we stand on dilapidated fencing?
Well, the part of the fence is removed, and part of it is not mine.
Okay.
So we have a dispute about that. Whose fence is it?
All right. What do we determine about the fencing?
As I did state earlier, that it is undetermined on whose fence it is. Unfortunately, I can't approach the fence very much due to the animals on the property.
Okay.
We can make an appointment.
Mr. Jaborik is going to tell us it's going to be moot by tomorrow, right?
According to what I had to the left. I just returned. I flew 36 hours, so I'm just back. Yes.
Junk vehicle. The vehicles have tags on them now?
They do have tags. That white Mustang you see that's actually parked in the driveway has not moved since I opened my case on March 3rd. March 9th.
Shortly here. Exterior surfaces, exterior doors. Where do we stand on that?
Like I said, as you can see, the overhang over the front door, the roof, it is leaning down. There have yet to be permits to address this. Mr. Jaborik has stated that the building department has signed off on this. I have yet to get any correspondence confirming that.
What about the peeled paint? The whole house.
You have painted the house, that's correct.
And replaced the wood.
But like I said,
I didn't know. I thought I had a company who pulled permits.
Sorry, Mr. Jaborik, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt with regard to your tenant. I'm going to give you until July 8th to come fully into compliance, or, failing that, a fine in the amount of $100 per day will go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. Okay, so presumably over the next 30 days, your tenant will be out of there.
Yes.
Your cars will be out of there.
Yes.
You'll be able to attend to the roof. You'll be able to attend to the other matters. If the roof turns out to be a more extensive problem than we might appreciate right now, then let your inspector know that.
because if we have to give you additional time, if the roof's going to be more time-consuming, then we'll take that into consideration. But as it stands right now, you've got till July 8th to come into compliance on everything. 10-4?
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 8, Matt Rentals, LLC. Anyone here for Matt Rentals, LLC?
She was here.
Yeah, this is actually not ripe for... The portion that had to be in compliance was in position of a fine of noncompliance with outside storage and nonconforming use, and that's been remedied.
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
This is on Matt Reynolds, LLC?
Yes, sir.
And so the only things remaining is the BTR?
That's correct.
And that's... you're given a compliance date of July 8th for the BTR.
All right. And based on the presentation of the city, I'll amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent.
Actually, you don't need to amend. We already have an existing order granting it until July 8th.
There's no action to be taken then.
That's correct.
Case number 9, Julian D. Pompey. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelge, this is before you as a for imposition of a fine. It's a repeat violation. Daniel Garcia is the inspector. I'm not sure if you recall this case that arose with a prior noncompliance being entered in April 2013. This is a case where numerous complaints from neighbors regarding yard care, the lawn maintenance. Sorry, I'm not sure. Homeowners Association. I'm getting some clarification from my inspector. And it resulted in an order formed to come into compliance that it, in a sense, had been violated, and it had been sanctioned $25 for the violation where we had a period of overgrowth. The inspector will report that this individual is taking the mindset or the position that when he get to it, he get to it, and so we're at this point now where this has arisen again, and although it's a non-compliance, the staff is asking for a fine of $250 for the one-time violation. I would ask, I will tender to you, Mr. Garcia, to give you further factual information.
I don't understand. Did we impose a will fine previously?
That's correct. I believe it was $25.
The initial order of noncompliance was April 2013. Then there was a repeat violation where an actual fine was imposed last year. I believe those
caps. $25.
Right.
$25. There's caps separating the files there. So then now it's back for a fine, a spot fine for that.
Right, I'm fining the respondent $250. Sure, we gave him the speech back then that said if he came back again, it would be inconsiderate.
Yes,
you did. It was with a different court officer.
Case number 10, Julie N. Stokes and Jackie D. Gibson and Cynthia E. Gibson as joint tenants with right of survivorship.
Good morning. I'm Christine DiNardo from DiNardo Property Management and Real Estate. I'm the property manager for this property and representing Ms. Stokes and Ms. Gibson this morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, yes. I do. Okay.
Okay. You have authority to act on behalf of the respondent?
I do.
Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I do.
And I find the respondent in noncompliance. Let's find out from the city how long they think it should take for the respondent to come into compliance.
John Stinson, code inspector for the city, qualifications are on file. This property should be able to be brought in compliance by the next cutoff.
All right. Our inspector seems to think you ought to be able to come into compliance by July 8th. What say you?
We are relocating the tenant. We're moving them out of there by June 15th. The tenant is... stupid is the only way I can put it, because he just doesn't understand that he cannot be doing this there. And he's caused a lot of heartache for the HOA. So I've been driving by, but Mr. Jackson?
Stinson.
Drove by this morning.
I was actually clear this morning.
Okay, so but I've been driving by to see, and like there was a car with no tag. I left a notice that I was going to have. And when I talked to the tenant on the phone, he's just like, he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care that he's not supposed to be doing it. It's his car. So Mr. Stenson said that they pulled those cars into the garage. So we're both kind of checking. Like, I keep, you know, trying to check because the homeowners association is kind of nuts. Like, they're not in as they should be. You know, I'm trying to work with them because apparently they got in a screaming match. Somebody got in a screaming match on the street. So none of that's good. So we're moving the tenant out, and they should be gone by June 15th.
Then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by July 8, 2015, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Once you're in compliance, be sure to call Mr. Stenson so that he can take care of the paperwork and that doesn't get forgotten.
No problem. Thank you.
Talk to you.
Okay.
Case number 11, Grandview Manor DB LLC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please,
ma'am? Donna O'Connor. Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
And your affiliation with Grandview Manor DB LLC?
I'm married to the owner, and I manage the property.
Very good. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Jackson, how much time does the city believe will be necessary for the respondent to come into compliance?
It should be the next cutoff date. They got everything but one window done, and we're just waiting for the reinspection on that.
All right, Ms. O'Connor, the inspector seems to think you ought to be able to have this taken care of by July 8th. What say you?
I'd like to apologize to Mr. Garcia and to Officer Klieg because I had a tenant in this apartment who we just evicted. We were not able to fix the things in the windows because he threatened me with a gun. And so I let Officer Klieg know that as soon as we got him out, of course we would do everything. We're very appreciative of his work for the city. And I'm sorry that I came to the fact that I'm here today.
Good. Well, we'll get it all taken care of.
Thank you.
All right. That having been said, please bear with me. These are the formalities. I'll give the respondent until July 8th to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Once you've got it all taken care of, notify Mr. Klieg. He'll do his final inspection. He'll put the paper in the file, and that will be the end.
May I ask why it would be $1,000 when everyone else was $100 or $250?
It's a maximum amount I can go up to. The amount that actually gets fined is usually considerably less. That's the city notifying you that the fine could go up to as much as $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be done, so it's not an issue.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Very
good.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
I know of none, sir. No.
All right, well, hang on a second here.
Nothing.
So, with regard to Mr. Heckman.
On the record or off the record?
On the record. With regard to Mr. Heckman, let me just say this. I trust the city. We'll do a thorough inspection on that property when he's done, because as pointed out by the resident, I don't want any crummy patchwork being done. I'm expecting that place to be the way it's supposed to be. Or failing that, I would fully expect that fine to go into effect. So I'll just say that, leave it at that.
Yes, sir.
Very good. We're adjourned.